Smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salapatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salapatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen, music by Peter Van Steeden, and another gala amateur contest. New music, new voices, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight. That crowd cheer Fred Allen as he heads the parade down the main street toward the old town hall. Fred's leading the band with a breadstick, followed by those crumbs of the drama, the mighty Allen Art Players. Let's join the merry crowd. Everybody's going to the old town hall. Everybody. Here they come, statesmen.
Do you agree with the court's decision on job insurance, Senator?
The only insurance I favor is fun insurance, Senator. It's town hall tonight.
Electrician.
I only got one fuse, lady. I can plug in the radio or you like.
Then by all means, plug in my radio, Ninny. It's town hall tonight.
Housewife.
Your turkey's burning in the oven, Clara. What'll I do?
It'll have to burn till I'm through with the radio, Chauncey. It's town hall tonight.
Now I see Fred stopped in front of the old town hall. He's welcoming the crowd as it pours inside with jive and jest. Let's listen.
The bells in the lighthouse ring ching kong, folks. And there's monkey business afoot at the old town hall, too. Now, don't crowd there, please.
Hi, Blubber.
Hello there, Pop.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
Hi there, Mrs. Dokes. You've got your opera glasses, I see.
Yep. I looked through the wrong end. It gets the actors further away.
That's what they all say, folks. Pass right in, but hurry, hurry, hurry.
Are you ready,
hurry.
Fred?
Yes, Harry. We're opening with Swinging the Jinx Away, from Born to Dance.
Right on. Let her go, Peter. Presenting that magnificent major domo of mad, merry, mirth, and mumbo jumbo, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before, you know, one night, Harry, you're going to say something that I can understand, and there's going to be trouble around here. Now, before we pay tribute to Joe Miller and throw out the first joke we were going to tell this evening, I'll read you the town hall bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, the first grocer to ever move his stock out into the street so that the mice would have more room to play around in the store, is making a special announcement. Now, a lot of customers have been complaining about Hodge's orange Pico tea tasting kind of funny lately. Hodge says you folks can't blame him. It's the companies putting up the tea in those little bags. Moth got into the tea bags last week. And Hodge says he's had to put mothballs in with the tea in self-defense, and that's what you take. So much for the baggy facts around the village. And do you ever see any baggy facts, Harry? And now enough facts could bag, like your trouser knees. And now for the town hall news. The curtain, Harry.
Coming right down, Fred.
The lights go out, and we bring you the latest news of the week. The town hall news sees nothing, shows all. Washington, D.C., the Chamber of Commerce of the United States, says the present business boom is here to stay. Town hall news shows great difference in the attitude of sales forces during depression and boom time. First, the sales attitude during the Depression. The scene, a department store in 1932.
Sure, Mr. Judson.
Thank you, Miss Wilk. Can I help you, sir?
Men's studs, please.
You want to price them?
No. I want to buy a collar button. I'm a customer.
Oh, a customer? Let me take a good look at you.
You don't know me, do you?
No, but it's been so long since I've seen a customer. I want to drink you in, every bit of you. Could I have your name?
Yes, it's Tudor Kelp. But all this fuss...
Oh, a customer is no fuss, Mr. Kelp. Do you mind if I show you off to the style?
Listen, mister, I'm shopping. This ain't a personal appearance.
Well, now, don't point it, Mr. Kelp. You don't know what you mean to the morale of this store. Miss Wilkes.
Yes?
Miss Crinkle.
Yes?
Mr. Bodkin.
Yes, Mr. Jackson.
This is Mr. Kelp, a customer.
A customer?
Yes. You can touch him if you want to.
Oh, Mr. Kelp, can I have a lock of your hair?
Stand still, Mr. Kelp. I'll get a candid camera shot. Thanks.
Turn around, Mr. Kelp. I ain't seen a customer since I don't know when.
Well, ain't anyone been in this store lately?
Well, a woman did come in yesterday. She got wrapped up in her window shopping and went too far. She apologized, though, and left.
Well, I'm glad to meet all you folks, but all I need's a collar button.
A collar button, yes, sir. Mr. Bodkin.
Yes, Mr. Judson.
One collar button for Mr. Kelp.
Yes, sir, right this way, Mr. Kelp.
Oh, thank you.
Mind if we girls tag along? Lord, it's so long since I've seen a sale, I forget the technique.
Oh, I say, let's make a daisy chain. Take my hand, Mr. Kelp.
Hey, wait a minute. You're sure this is a department store?
Oh, don't be bashful, silly. Come along. Yes, Mr. Bodkin is waiting.
Now, this is our full line of collar buttons, Mr. Kelp.
Oh, just anyone's okay.
Well, now, here, let me model one of the gold buttons for you.
No, I'll just slip this one in. That's all right.
Let me see, Mr. Kelp. Tilt your chin. I think your Adam's apple shrieks for a techno-pearl.
Well,
yes, exactly. With that hook-on bow tie you're wearing, a pearl button would do wonders for your neck.
Well, try this one, Mr. Kelp.
Thanks. How's this?
That's it, definitely.
Yes, it sets off the celluloid in your collar, so.
Well, how much is it?
5 cents. Shall I send it insured?
No, I'll keep it on. Here's your nickel.
Thank you, Mr. Kelp. Cash, Miss Wilkes?
5 cents? Just right, thank you.
We've certainly enjoyed having you, Mr. Kelp.
Yeah, well, goodbye, all.
Goodbye, Mr. Kelp.
What about a song, folks?
You bet.
He's a jolly good fellow. Kelp's a jolly good fellow.
Ah, but how different today. With business booming, the sales forces have regained their frigid normalcy. The same customer returns to the same department store in 1936.
Here's 5,000, Mr. Judson.
Greta, 10,000, Mr. Judson.
Oh, one at a time, girls. This is $1 million day.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, what is it? Speak up, man, I'm busy.
I'd like to get a collar button.
A collar button?
Why, you tramp.
A collar button.
Out you go.
Help!
New York City, New York. The 1937 Social Register drops the name of Rose, the famous Pekingese dog listed last year. Town Hall News gets candid camera shot of the famous peak, the peak.
Get away from that keyhole, you.
Radio City, New York. The new Technicolor picture, Garden of Allah, opens at the Radio City Music Hall. Town Hall News presents brief synopsis of this beautiful film, The Garden of Allah.
What is this window box doing on the Empire State Building guide?
It is the Garden of Allah.
Allah be praised?
No, Allah E. Smith.
Dublin, Ireland. Postmaster James A. Foley arrives in Ireland on vacation jaunt. After an enthusiastic welcome at Dublin, Mr. Foley leaves to hear another speech at Cork. The speech at Cork.
Give me that bottle, boys. I'll open it.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I forgot to tell you before, when we were talking about Hodge White, that Hodge is impaled on the sharp horns of a seasonal sartorial dilemma. So I'm going to ask the best-dressed man on the 8th floor here in Radio City to help him out. You will, won't you, Harry?
Who, me? Well, if I can, Fred, what does he want to know?
Well, Hodge says, what with winter swooping down so fast, which should he get, a fur-lined overcoat or a horse chestnut to tie around his neck?
Well, now, I don't see what they both have in common, Fred.
Well, neither do I, Harry, but Hodge seems to think that either one will keep him from catching cold.
Oh, well, now I get it. Well, I'd advise him to get the overcoat and not to put his faith in any kind of charm, either to ward off a cold or to cure one. For if you have a cold, there's a modern way to fight it. and a way that's mighty effective. Get plenty of rest, drink lots of liquid, watch your diet, but at the first sign of that cold, put 2 teaspoonfuls of Salepatica in a glass of water and drink it. Here's why.
You can often throw a cold off more quickly. If at its very beginning you remove wastes from the body and also help nature combat the acidity that frequently accompanies a cold.
And since Salhepatica is the mineral salt laxative that not only removes wastes from the body, but also helps nature combat acidity, it should be your first thought when a cold strikes. Don't take chances. Take Salhepatica for your smile of health.
Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours have just played the organ grinder swing. And here you are, Peter. These are the pennies I picked up after your solo. Now, on Friday night...
Chester Allen!
Who is that? Who?
Hello!
Well, sir, they left when I stepped under the shower wearing my fez. They didn't know I was taking a Turkish bath. If it isn't Portland.
Yes, I'm going down to meet my cousin Alvin. He's coming home from college.
For the holidays?
No, he's through for this year.
Well, don't tell me that anyone related to you is smart enough to finish a year of college in 3 months.
No, Alvin only took up football, so he finished last week.
Well, doesn't he know that there's more to a college than just the football stadium?
Nobody told him anything about it.
Well, didn't he notice any other buildings around the campus while he was at the college?
Yes, he said he saw some little houses, but he thought they were just there to show off the ivy.
Oh. Did he get it's better than letting your ivy run around rampant, I suppose, you build those little things. Did he get his letter this year?
I don't think so. He never gets any mail.
How did a puffed yokel like that ever get into college in the first place?
I don't know. He's 6'4". He got off the train at New Haven one Saturday, and they took him right to the stadium.
It's too bad he didn't get off the train here in New York. They'd have probably taken him right to the Goodwill Court.
Well, he couldn't have stayed in the stadium much longer with this cold weather coming on.
No, I guess the frost is on the pigskin, all right. And the frost will be on you as soon as I can focus my icy stare.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm only prologue tonight.
Now, if you've brought any of those decoys of the human race in here...
Mr.
Mandelbaum! Oh, no. Oh. Mr. Clay! Okie dokie, you are calling Tremaine Mandelbaum and hocus pocus. I am bouncing back on you like a rubber check.
Hold it, Mandelbaum. You ain't making no cat's paw out of Detmar Prace.
Now, wait a minute. You two, where do you think you are, in Carnegie Hall?
Yes, be careful, fellas. Mr. Allen is a little grumpy.
Grumpy? So who is he kidding?
He's too young to be our grumpy.
Grumpy, you mean grampy.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Well, what's keeping you? Go there.
Don't lose your temper, Mr. Mandelbaum.
This bum is impossible.
And you are possible? Oh, I'm laughing.
Now, quiet, or I'll pull that derby down over your stomach so fast you'll think night has fallen.
Now, don't start anything, Mr. Rowan.
Now, look, Cortland, before I get physical, what do these two verbal tickets want?
It's about your Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah. How about trying my roadhouse, Alan? Glutton's no.
Glutton's canoe, he says. If you are keeping up with the pilgrim tradition, you are spending Thanksgiving by Mandelbaum's Yodi Colonial Hofbrau.
Mandelbaum's Colonial Hofbrau?
You said it, kiddo. The Mandelbaums was early settlers. Mandelbaum. The name is going back to the Indians.
Hey, you ain't trying to tell us that Captain John Smith was a Mandelbaum.
That I am not claiming. But Sir Walter Raleigh.
Now, wait, don't tell me Sir Walter's right name was Mandelbaum.
Not exactly.
Then where did the colonial Mandelbaums come in, Tremaine?
You are recalling Sir Walter Raleigh is throwing the cape in a puddle of water?
So what?
My great-grandfather, Sebastian Mandelbaum, is doing Sir Walter's cleaning and pressing.
Right. At Glutton's Knoll, I'm serving a turkey dinner and a single room for $4.
What do I need the room for?
After you eat the dinner, you won't be able to move for 3 days.
Hooey! By Mandelbaum's the oldie colonial half-brow, that much food you are finding on your napkin.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Mandelbaum is keeping up the pilgrim hospitality.
What sort of a dinner are you vending?
I am duplicating to the toothpick. The same dinner my great-grandmother Priscilla Mandelbaum served in 1623. Nothing has changed but the price.
What's on the menu, Mr. Mandelbaum?
Well, first you're coming to the table, strapped to a chair.
Do you have to be strapped in, Mr. Mandelbaum?
A safety belt is positively required. Otherwise, after the meat course, you are rolling under the table.
Never mind the precautions. What about the food?
This feast is opening with harvest fruit appetizer a la Mandelbaum, consisting of half a pumpkin, slopping over with branded knishes, elongated pears, and tropical knickknacks.
That's the appetizer.
Correct. With this, you are only tuning up. Presto, this is gone, and you are gazing into a double boiler of oyster stew with crouton bouquets floating lazily on top.
Where does the turkey come in?
Don't bolt in the conversation. As soon as the oyster stew is drying on your wet, I am pressing a bell. A small swimming pool of gravy is rolled in, and mine host Mandelbaum is saving each guest an individual psyche wrapped in cellophane.
Why, it's inhuman.
By you it's inhuman, but by me it's Thanksgiving.
What comes next?
You are zipping open the turkey, and lo and behold, peeping out on you is chestnut dressing, sweet potatoes, a corsage of broccoli drowning in smetana, and a double portion of pilgrim chow mein.
Wow!
Later you will wow. By now you are only gradually uncomfortable.
What happens? Don't mind me being curious. What happens after you look in the turkey?
I am pulling a string. The chandelier is tipping over, and suddenly it is raining. Radishes, olives, red peppers, and baby gherkins.
What's for dessert, Mr. Mandelbaum?
Triple decker pie.
What's that? Pumpkin with three crusts?
No, knacker. Triple decker pie a la oily Mandelbaum is three mince pies with squash pies in between. Cemented together by whipped cream.
What does this mess cost?
With large coffee, 90 cents. With demi-tasse, 85.
You can't make any money at those prices, can you?
Confidentially, on the dinner, I am barely breaking even.
Where does your profit come in?
I am not paying my rent.
Well, that beats me.
And mein host Mandelbaum is getting your Thanksgiving business, Mr. Allen?
Yes, reserve me two chairs for tomorrow.
Are you taking me, Mr. Allen?
No, I'll need that second chair for my stomach pump. So long, boys.
So long.
Happy Thanksgiving, Portland.
Pally, home-cooked meal.
And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight the boys sing that Subway theme song, Everybody Jam.
What do musicians do when they start jamming? Let me explain to you what's meant by jamming. It means they play the tunes they like,
the way they like to play them.
Each guy takes off a noodles around, they swing them, sway them.
Pick up a fiddle or saxophone, go get a trumpet or slide trombone,
and come on, everybody jam.
If you find you're in the mood for swing, now is the time to do just that thing.
So come on, everybody jam, everybody jam.
We'll count out about 100 choruses of Dinah.
We repeat the beat
while the trumpet blows, honeysuckle rolls. Yeah, man, we gotta be on the move. Swing it along till we're in the groove.
So come on, everybody jam. Welcome, musicians, won't you step right in? Cause a hot jam session is about to begin.
How much do you cost?
It don't cost a thing. All you gotta do is show that you can swing.
Well, I'd like to jive.
You would?
You bet.
What do you play?
I play sound in.
I played the trumpet out from Alabama.
Don't care where you're from, we want to know, can you jam?
I'd sure like to try, and sure as you're bone, I'm going to jar you loose when I blows this horn.
Well, swing it. Now I play guitar.
I play the drum.
I slap the bass and I make things hum.
Now we ain't got time to take it one by one, so let's everybody jam and have lots of fun. About 100 choruses of Dinah. We repeat the beat while the trumpet blows,
honeysuckle rolls. Yeah, man, we gotta be on the move,
swinging along till we're in the groove. So come on, come along, everybody jam, everybody jam.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And thank you, too, boys.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Wait a minute here. One of the Mighty Allen art players seems to have broken loose. What is this, Minerva? Mutiny?
Oh, no, Fred. Only I'm tired of being just one of a group. I want to stand out on this program.
What would you like to do, Minerva?
I had a newsreel for tonight, and you didn't give me a chance to do it.
Oh, gosh. Well, you can't. There's no time like the present. You go right ahead and do it now.
Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. Eminent professor says that man's place in future history will depend in no small measure on what he decides to eat. Isn't that right, Harry?
Well, I certainly think the professor knows what he's talking about, Minerva, because what we eat certainly affects the way we feel, the way we act, and even the way we look. For example, the soft, creamy, well-cooked foods we eat nowadays do not give our gums enough exercise to keep them firm and healthy. And our teeth are seldom white and sparkling when gums are soft and undernourished. That's why, like so many dentists, we advise this.
Brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste. And every time you do, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage your gums with it.
And here's the reason for that advice. Ipana is the toothpaste designed not only to clean and polish your teeth thoroughly, but when used with massage, to give your gums the toning and stimulation they need to help guard against gum troubles. You can count on healthier gums, lovelier teeth, and a far more attractive smile if you'll always remember Ipana, for the smile of beauty. Well, there's the theme song of the Mighty Allen Art Players. They'll be with you immediately after your station announcement.
ladies and gentlemen, we present the theater's gift to the aspirin business, the mighty Alan R. Player. Tonight, they present a drama culled from the world of big business. It's called The Egg Baron. The Egg Baron, or You Nesty Man. Over to you, Peter.
Eureka Egg Company. Mr. Allen? Yes, he's in the wastebasket. No, he's not in conference. He threw some letters away and forgot to let go. Well, I'll get him. Telephone, Mr. Allen.
Oh, all right. Coming, coming. Hello, Eureka Egg Company. Egg prices today? Fancy Browns, 32 cents a dozen. Cracked eggs are 25. Crack a dozen of the Fancy Browns and you'll take them? Who is this? Oh, McGregor's Chop House. Okay.
You're certainly booming our egg trade, Mr. Allen.
You've got to have a head for the egg business, Miss Yokes.
You've got an egg head, all right.
I've put the Eureka Egg Company where it is today.
Anybody think you were laying the eggs?
Well, I haven't time for everything, Miss Yokes. What's my first appointment?
That woman from Bad Housekeeping is waiting to interview you.
Oh, yes. Send her in.
Mr. Allen, I'll see you, miss.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
I'm Miss Scrawl, Mr. Allen.
Oh, you want my success story for your magazine?
Yes, I have some questions here.
Do you take shorthand?
I do.
Good. My success has been rapid. Now, what is your first question?
To what do you owe your success in the egg business?
Efficiency, Miss Scrawl. I've kept my nose to the nest for 20 years.
It looks it with that fuzz on the end.
I'm in constant touch with every hen in our plant.
You mean you can tell the minute an egg is laid?
Not the minute, the very second, Miss Scrawl. You see, this eggograph here on my desk is my own idea. It's a direct wire from the hen house to my office. Now, listen.
Hen coop number 4, Bedelia on nest at 9:15. She's crying. Stand by. Check, Bedelia, one egg. Bedelia off the nest at 9:17. This is Lopez speaking.
You see?
Well, that's wonderful, Mr. Allen.
Well, just one of the many innovations I've brought to the egg game, Miss Scrawl.
What are some of the others?
Well, as my first efficiency move when I came here, I installed the trapdoor hen's nest.
How does your trapdoor nest work?
It's simple and humane. You see, the hen mounts the nest in good faith. The egg is laid and drops through a trapdoor in the bottom of the nest. The hen gets up and looks into the nest, ostensibly to gloat. But the nest is empty.
What happens?
The hen thinks she's made a mistake. She remounts the nest instanter and lays another egg. That dropped through. Now the hen is furious. She climbs back on the nest with feathers akimbo and zingo.
How long does this go on?
Well, generally until the hen's morale bogs down.
Wonderful.
Yes, that's the consensus. But the trap door nest was merely a stepping stone to my latest innovation.
What's that?
Dated eggs.
Dated eggs?
Exactly. You've heard of dated foods, dated underwear, and dated fuller brushes?
Yes.
Well, I'm selling dated eggs. My slogan is, from nest to vest in 24 hours.
Gee, what a story. Thanks.
Good day, Miss Scrawl.
Good day. Orders for those dated eggs are pouring in, Mr. Allen.
Yes, and my offensive hasn't even started yet. Take a proclamation.
Yes, sir.
I hereby declare next week to be National Dated Egg Week. I'm dropping 2,000 dated eggs from the top of the Empire State Building. The Theater Guild is using nothing but dated eggs in its new show, The Lay of the Last Minstrel. Who is that?
Robert Nipley is waiting.
Believe it or not, Nipley?
Yes, sir.
Oh, show him in.
Okay, Mr. Nipley.
Mr. Allen?
Oh, yes, Nipley, I didn't recognize you without an oddity. What's on your mind?
What's this about your dated eggs?
They're taking the country by storm.
Well, how do you date the eggs? By hand?
This is the machine age, Nipley. My hens date their own eggs automatically.
Would you mind if I saw how it was done?
Not at all. Miss Yoke?
Yes, sir?
A buzz for Wattle. Tell him to bring in my prize hen, Renee, a sample nest, and his violin.
Yes, sir.
Renee gives instant service, Nifley. She won the Pulitzer Prize for pullets this year.
My, this will be the greatest believe it or not of all time.
You buzzed for her name, Mr. Allen?
Yes, Wattle. Set her nest, well, right here on my desk.
Not yet, Renee.
This is Mr. Wattle, Mr. Nipley.
How do you do, Mr. Nipley? Quiet, quiet, Renee. I'll tune my violin.
Why, do all of your employees carry violins?
This isn't Hollywood, Nipley. Mr. Wattle uses his violin at crucial moments.
Yes, I go from nest to nest playing glowworm.
I've trained our hens to react to glowworm. You see, the mere mention of this selection, and Renee is on the qui vive. In just a moment, Renee.
Well, now, if you'll explain your process, how the eggs are dated, Mr. Allen.
Yes. You see here on the hen's leg, we have a rubber dating stamp with extension. You see this little telescope effect?
Yes.
It's curved to fit under the egg.
It slips under.
Similar to the pan under the old-fashioned icebox.
That's right. Now, as the egg is laid, the weight of the hen stamps the date on the bottom of the egg.
I see. And does Mr. Wattle change the date on the stamp?
Oh, no. It's automatic. Each time the hen sits down, you see, this little cog here moves around to the next date.
I see. How many dated eggs does a hen lay in a day?
Only one.
Oh, yes. Our special dated egg hens are only permitted to sit once every 24 hours. If they sat down twice, you see, the date machine would move up another day.
My word. Delicate business, isn't it? Could I see a demonstration?
Immediately. Now, carry on, Waffle.
Attention, boo, Renee.
Now, watch closely, Nipley. As the hen straddles the nest, Wattle, ever so slyly, picks up his violin.
Yes, what does he play? All of Glowworm?
Oh, no. I play just the first four bars. No more, no less.
Glowworm is the secret of dated eggs, Nipley.
Ready, Renee?
Touché, Renee. Now watch her when the music comes in.
Her eyes are lighting up.
And here, believe it or not, Nipley, is the egg dated November 25th, 1936.
It's positively remarkable. Can she do it again? Just one more?
No. The dated machine has turned. Renee is finished for today. She can't sit down now again until tomorrow. Thank you, Renee. That will be all, Wattle.
Yes, sir. Oh, do you mind if I play the second four bars of Glowworm, Mr. Allen?
No, Wattle. We're getting results with the four bars you're playing.
Oh, but I can't stand it. For 20 years, I've studied the violin for what? To go from nest to nest playing the first four bars of Glowworm?
I'm running an egg business, not the hit parade, Wattle.
Yes, sir. I bow to big business.
Good. Now straighten up and leave.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Nipley.
Goodbye, Wattle.
Come, Renee.
Hey, here, you're taking my derby, Wattle. This is the nest. Here.
Sorry, sir.
Well, I'll run along now, Alan. I've got to sketch a midget steeplejack who climbs hydrants.
Okay, Nipley. Good day.
Believe it or not, good day.
Miss Yoke.
Yes, sir?
Have I ever overlooked anything in my day-to-day campaign?
You said something about a tie-up with the movies.
Oh, yes. Wire Nunnally Johnson, 20th Century Studios, Hollywood.
Yes, sir.
Dear Nunnally, can you use dated eggs in your new picture, The General Fried at Dawn? Love.
That's 11 words.
Well, leave out love. Nunnally'll understand. Eureka Egg Company. What? You're returning 200 cases of dated eggs? They're dated 1965? Why, there must be some mistake. This is terrible. A thing like this.
Mr. Allen.
What is it, me?
The Waldorf Astoria returned 100 cases of eggs.
What?
They're dated 1981.
This is sabotage.
And here's a note from the Normandy. Returning 2,000 eggs dated 1999. What's wrong, Mr.
Something's
Allen?
Something's moving the date stamps ahead. The hens must be sitting down more than once a day.
Maybe that hen disease, psittacosis, has broken out.
No, it must be Wattle. He's double-crossed me symphonically.
He said he was sick of playing those same four bars of Glowworm.
Wattle will pay for this. Where is that leghorn Chrysler?
I just passed him in the nest room next door.
Okay, let's go. Wattle!
Oh, yes, Mr. Allen. I was just putting a new G-string on my violin.
What's going on here? 300 cases of eggs have been returned. They're dated ahead.
Well, I...
Don't cringe, Wattle. Have you tinkered with your routine and Dante?
What? Thought so.
Well, I had to stop playing glowworm 2 weeks ago. Those same four bars. I was going mad. My artistic self, the real Wattle, cried out for modern music.
You mean you sunk to swing?
Yes. That's what dated the eggs ahead. It's my tempo.
The hens have been sitting down more than once a day.
They've been sitting down every four bars.
Sounds. What have you been playing?
This.
Wattle, you're fired. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. And just to prove that the mighty Allen Art players aren't the only ones who make mistakes, I'd like to shake a reproving finger at a man who, tomorrow, is going to make a bigger mistake and be sorry for it afterward. Harry Von Zell.
Well, now, Fred, it's not exactly a mistake, and I'm not exactly going to be sorry.
Well, outside of that, I hit the nail right on the head, didn't I?
No, here's what I mean, Fred. Tomorrow, I am going to sit down to a big Thanksgiving dinner, and I know I won't get up from the table until I've eaten too much. We all do it, Fred, sort of forget ourselves on holidays. We never remember about it until the next morning when we wake up with that awful, dull, logy feeling. But that's something you can get after very quickly and very easily, ladies and gentlemen. Just put 2 teaspoonfuls of sal apatica in a glass of water and drink it. Here's why that's such a wise course to follow.
2 things are usually brought on by holiday overindulgence. Wastes in the body and acid in the system.
And sal apatica is the mineral salt laxative especially made to do not just one, but 2 things. To remove wastes from the body and also to help nature combat acidity. When you see how quickly you're feeling your old, normal self again, you'll certainly be thankful you remembered sal hepatica for the smile of health. Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours are playing the current favorite, Talking Through My Heart. Town Hall Amateur Contest. Here comes Fred leading another selected group of amateurs out to the microphone. And before they begin, let's give them a real Town Hall reception. Come on.
Thank you. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we present another group of talented young ladies and gentlemen. The boys and girls are competing for a first prize of $100 and a second prize of $50 in cash. Now, you folks here in the studio will select the winners. Your applause after each act will be recorded on our applause machine, and the 2 acts receiving the highest applause ratings will be called back later so that you may vote finally for the award of first and second prizes. Now, first tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet James Sullivan. How are you tonight, James?
Very well, thank you.
You are, huh? Very well. You talk like a tenor. You are, huh?
I think so.
You won Uncle Jim's contest at Fay's Theater in Providence last week, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Is that your home in Providence?
No, I live in Taunton, Massachusetts, the other side of there.
Oh, Taunton is between Providence and Boston, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Do you work in Taunton, do you?
Yes, sir.
You don't mind saying what you do, do you?
No, sir, not at all.
Well... We have come to an umpar, as they say in musical circles. What do you do in Taunton?
I work in a stove foundry.
In this, oh, there are quite a few stove and furnace foundries there, aren't there?
Yes, sir.
I almost played Taunton a long time ago. Wasn't there a park there, Sabatia Park?
Yes, sir. The other end of the town.
The other end of the town. Well, wherever I appeared, it was always the other end of the town. Wherever I appeared, automatically became the other end of the town. Because when I would appear, the town would go to the other end as a man. But no, I did. Well, I won't go into that. I really did almost play it up there years ago. I was up there for 3 days. They had an open-air theater, and it rained for the 3 days, so the man couldn't put the show on in the theater. We sat in a boarding house up there for 3 days. And finally, the last day, the man took all the vaudeville over in the rainy theater to see what it would have been like if he could have played it. And we all did our acts, and he didn't like it. So that's the nearest I ever came to playing Taunton. But what are you going to sing for us tonight?
I'd like to sing Joyce Kilmer's Trees.
Trees. All right. Thank you very much.
I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet spreading breath. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts its leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in some way a nest of robins in her head, upon whose bosom snow has laid. Winter may fill ears with rain. Poems are made by fools like me. But only God can make a tree.
Thank you. That was James Sullivan of Taunton, Massachusetts. And now I would like to have you meet Paul Zbell. How do you pronounce your last name, Paul?
Zbell.
Zbell, huh? That Zbell. It seems to me there should be another letter in between the Z and the B there. Huh?
No, no, sir.
You don't think so, huh? Well, I don't know. ZB, you can't get Zbell out of that, huh? But I think that parents should be more careful at christenings as a rule, really, because sometimes a father gives the minister the double talk and the baby goes through life with a name like Prendlegap McGee or something. It's very unsatisfactory. But I know a fella up home, up in Boston. His father handed him to his mother during the christening ceremony, and his name came out John. You hold the baby, Martha Jones. Imagine through life with a middle name like that. But you are going to give us some animal impersonations, Paul. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Have you tracked down these animals and caught up with their various sounds?
I did.
What the larger ones or just the everyday animals?
Well, both.
Both, huh?
Yes.
The dinosaur, do you go that far back?
No, sir.
You don't, huh? I had one of those. I bumped my head in the Pullman several years ago, but what would you, what are you going to, will you call them out as you do them, or can I, do you want me to do it for you? How are we doing?
Oh, I can call them out.
Well, all right. I think you better. I think it'll be a good idea. All right, Paul, thank you.
A rooster.
A turkey. A pig. A cat fight. A dog serenade. A dog fight.
The bell. Very good, too, Paul. I haven't heard so much barking since the night I took my hat off at the dog show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet two little kitties here, Helen and Walter Penny. You are the two pennies, are you? You're 3 cents short of a nickel, huh? And you, Uncle Jim tells me, who does the talking, Helen or Walter?
I'm Mr.
Allen. Well, you're the larger of the two, I guess you should. And you and Walter play piano duets, do you?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
How old are you?
I'm 10 and Walter's 6.
10 and 6, huh? How do you get Walter up to the piano, with a ladder or something? Well, what are you going to play for us tonight?
China Boy.
China Boy. Well, you go right over to the piano there, Helen. You take Walter over. He knows the piano, doesn't he? This is really remarkable. A little 6-year-old boy, he looks as though he'll fall in there if you don't let the top down. All right. With his six years old. And now, ladies and gentlemen, before me here at the microphone, we have an Indian gentleman in full Indian regalia. Your name, as I understand it, is Tia Swift Eagle. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And you are a full-blooded Indian, are you?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know about... Is that a special costume you have on, a tribal costume?
It's a long time ago. The scouts used this kind of costume.
Oh, the scouts. Were those just their everyday working clothes, or were they... Is that sort of a dress uniform?
It's just a dress uniform.
Dress uniform, yes, huh? Yes. And what tribe do you come from?
Well, I'm part Kilin Kiowa Apache.
Apache,
yes,
huh?
Sir.
And what part of the country do you come from?
Well, I'm staying in my mother's side in New Mexico.
In New Mexico, huh? Were you educated there?
Well, I was educated at Santa Fe Indian School.
Oh, Santa Fe. That's one of the, that's the largest Indian school in the country, isn't it?
No, sir.
It isn't. Well, if I'm wrong again. I just wanted to be consistent. Well, the second largest, is it?
The third largest.
Well, you see, I was right within two the first time. But I think it's appropriate on Thanksgiving Eve that we should have a descendant of one of the original settlers of our country. Do the Indians celebrate Thanksgiving, do they?
Yes, sir, they do.
They do, huh? They know, of course, that the Puritans have won the, have taken the country over.
They did, but not today.
Well, I was wondering, because not having telephones in the Tepes, you know, I didn't know where that word had gotten around. But Uncle Jim tells me that you are going to sing some original native songs. Are they songs that you've made up yourself?
Yes,
you're going to play your own accompaniment on the tom-tom.
Yes, sir.
That's another thing that's always worried me. You only have one tom there. Why do you call it a tom-tom?
Well, it's just like a dinner tom, and the sound comes from that.
Oh, the tom-tom is the sound that comes from the tom. I see. Yes. I know, even the little kiddies years ago had that one tom-tom, the piper's son. But you're going to sing... You're going to sing and play your own selections. Well, you go right ahead and thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present Gary Brown. And how are you tonight, Mr. Brown?
Fine, Mr. Allen.
You're not named after Gary Cooper, are you?
No, sir.
That's such an odd name, and you so seldom see it, I was just wondering. Where does the Gary come from? Contraction of Gary Baldy or something?
Something of the sort.
But Uncle Jim tells me that you are a chef here in New York. Is that right?
That's right, Mr. Allen.
And I thought, Gary, as long as this was Thanksgiving Eve... You know, tonight there are going to be thousands of people who will unexpectedly win turkeys in raffles around the country. And they'll get home around 12 o'clock tonight and they won't know how to cook the turkey. And I thought as long as you were a chef, perhaps you could give us a few instructions.
Well, I could give you a recipe on how to make a good turkey, Mr. Allen, but what I've been doing lately has been just roasting frankfurters.
Oh! Well... I couldn't very well then ask you about cooking instructions for a turkey because an old Frankfurt chef was bound to give us the worst of it. But I thought, well, we'll let it go. I thought perhaps you could tell the folks how to cook the turkey and they could tune in to any radio comedian and get enough chestnuts to make the dressing and let it go at that. But you're going to sing for us tonight, and I'm just going to ask you what you're going to sing.
Without a song.
Without a song. Thank you.
Without a song, the day would never end. Without a song, the road would never bend. When things go wrong, a man ain't got a friend. Without a song, I've got my trouble and woe. But sure as I know the Jordan will roll, I'll get along as long as a song is strong in my soul. I'll never know what makes the rain to fall. I'll never know what makes the grass so tall. I only know there ain't no love at all without a song.
Thank you. That was Gary Brown from the Bronx. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Walter Froese. From
Froese is the name, yeah.
How old are you, Walter?
I'm 13.
Walter has two voices here. I don't know which voice you're going to use tonight.
Well, Mr. Allen,
I'm going to use a both voice.
Where did you get... Where did you get the two voices? I mean, did you perfect the other one, or is it just a natural voice?
Well, it's...
Sort of, jumped on me.
How old are you?
I said before I was...
13.
Oh, you're 13. And you have two voices. You never get lonesome with two voices. You'll make a great radio executive in years to come. You can go into conference with yourself and hash things over with two voices. We'll get someplace. What are you going to do for us tonight?
Well, Mr. Allen...
I'm going to sing By Heck.
Okay.
You're going to... wait a minute. I'll sing. There's three of us here now. Wait a minute. Let me get it. You're going to sing By Heck, eh?
Yeah, By
Heck.
By... All right, then I'll say okay. Go right ahead.
Okay.
What a town...
Honest to goodness, I am sure...
Makes me feel just like a clown.
I'll never come back here anymore.
Here I'm walking up and down.
Where the police?
I'm the cow.
Where's the police?
By heck, wow, I'm some darn fool.
Like a kid just out of school.
I'm a devil as a rule.
I'm the village constable.
Yes, I'll swap her for a mule.
Star of the booth.
My beaut.
Isn't she cute?
It's true.
By heck. Wow. Okay, bye.
That was Walter Froese. And that concludes our amateur contest, ladies and gentlemen. And while I find out from the applause machine just how the
amateurs
have fared at your hands, here's Harry with a little holiday hope.
Ladies and gentlemen, we hope sincerely that your Thanksgiving will be a most happy one. We hope, too, that you've enjoyed our Thanksgiving Eve program. If you have, all we ask in return is that you remember the two products that make all of these Wednesdays with Fred Allen possible. Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica. All right, Fred, have you got the result?
Yes, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter divulges that your applause has been heaviest for the two acts we have called back on the stage. Now, I'm going to ask you... to ask Harry to hold his hand over the heads of these boys and young lady. And as I call the names, I'm going to ask you to kindly applaud once again and select your winners, if you will, please. You ready, Harry?
All ready.
First, the two little kiddies, Helen and Walter Penny. And then the young man with his excellent animal imitations, his cat and dog fights, Paul Zabel. What does the machine say, Harry? Thank you. The first prize, $100 in cash, goes to Helen and Walter Penny, the two little kiddies who play the piano. The second prize, $50 in cash, goes to Paul Zabel. And thank you all, boys and girls, for an excellent contest. Good night.
This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.